Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Darkhearts.
Hey. Hello, friends.
I don't even welcome know, like,
this week.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the new week. It feels like winter all over again.
Yeah. Should have known that that was like false spring number one. Yeah. It was icy as shit this morning, too.
It was. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. I was not expecting that. I'm glad I figured it out a little bit ahead of where I was going to be stopping, because I definitely would have just slid through the intersection and that would have been fun. So,
yeah, that a few weeks ago when we had that Friday that it snowed or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Like, it sucked, but like, it was melted by the afternoon.
Oh, yeah.
Today is too cold and windy for it to melt.
No. And there's just no sunshine. Like, disgusting. And yeah, icy and gross, and I hate it. It's so weird because here in Nebraska, well, Omaha specifically, a couple nights ago, it was like thunderstorming. Did you hear it?
Yes, and I did. Then, I woke up to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it hailed yesterday at my house. Like, I don't know if it hailed there. Yeah, for like 5 minutes straight, it just hailed.
I worked all day yesterday, so.
Oh, yeah. No.
I missed it, probably.
My dogs were like losing their minds, and I looked out and I'm like, what is happening right now? Where am I? This is so weird. Yeah. So.
Nope. But it was supposed to be like in the 50s on Friday.
I know. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll take it, but I'm not happy about the current situation here.
No, so. I just want to be in spring.
Yep.
That's all I want. So.
Bring it on.
Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, I mean, I guess I don't have a whole lot that I can think of for the top here, but do you got your case highlight?
Yeah. So it's not really a case as much as it is kind of just a situation in the news right now. Okay. I don't know if you have watched it. I'm sure you've heard about The Quiet on the Set it's the documentary.
Yes, I haven't watched it yet. I'm aware of it. I know the stuff about it. I've come across some TikToks with people discussing it. Because then there was also the creator of Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff. I watched it and I wasn't, like, I had seen a bunch of stuff prior to watching it.
Yeah.
And then I finally just did it and wow. Let's just say it was terrible. I mean, some of the stuff, just from watching the shows back and whatnot, like, okay, that's probably somewhat inappropriate for a children's show, you know?
Like the Amanda Bynes thing.
Yeah.
I was talking with someone about that and I never caught on what I thought it was Tate.
Like they talk about that on the show, how like when they said it was going to be, her name was going to be Penelope Taint, then the like, you know, higher up said, well, isn't that like, you know, a reference to this? And they're like, no, Dan Schneider, the producer of all of the things, he told his team like, no, don't admit to that. And so they were like, no. Yeah. And then just very sexual acts that like on Victorious, like we watched Victorious a lot around our house when Journey was younger, my daughter. Okay. Whoops. It's fine. Anyways. I always saw some of the stuff on there. I was like, I mean, it's a good thing my kid is a kid and doesn't know some of this, because I feel like, wow, that seemed kind of like a sexual reference, you know, mm-hmm. but like, yeah, it was disturbing. But I think the most disturbing part of it was Drake Bell talking about his experience. And I think it's just crazy. I mean, even for people who haven't watched the documentary, there's enough out there just in the news in general, like you kind of get an idea of what all happened. And it's sad because we all know that stuff like this happens in Hollywood, but it's just even worse when it's children involved. And yeah, so that's my story for today. Just was that like, that is has been blowing my mind and I haven't stopped thinking about it since I watched it.
That's like, so I talked, I came across a TikTok and they were like, okay, but we also need, I can't think of his name. The creator of Ren and Stimpy carried on a relationship with a 15-year-old girl. And he said he fell in love with her from the fan letters she wrote him when she was like 13 or something. But he also had another,
John Krickfalsui or something. Yeah. I don't know how to say it, but
and I guess there's a documentary about Ren and Stimpy, and he admits to this relationship as if it's a normal thing. Like,
gross.
Her parents thought she was there interning or whatever, you know, and he was giving her alcohol and drugs and all these things. And so her and another girl have tried to pursue, you know, child sexual abuse charges against him, but there's a statute of limitations, which there should be no statute of limitations on any sort of sexual assault, but especially against a child
who
does not have their own autonomy to go and file a charge.
Right. It's it's very sad and disgusting. That's a lot of this stuff too with Dan Schneider, like him with Amanda Bynes. There's no actual proof. I mean, mm-hmm. as far as physical proof that he had a, you know, physical relationship, sexual yeah. relationship with her, but like just a lot of icky things where he was, you know, very close to her. She's sitting in a bikini in a hot tub for a scene and he's in the hot tub with her fully dressed. You know, just things that it's yeah. like, this just feels icky and yuck.
Well, and
like
it explains so much. One, child actors who, you know, they end up having these mental breakdowns, like Amanda Bynes mm-hmm. and at, you know, Britney yeah. Spears. And it's like, look at the industry that they're in. One, they're being pushed too hard when that, but then you know that these things are happening.
Yeah.
And so I fully believe, I mean, he was doing this stuff. I fully believe that he did stuff to Amanda Bynes too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, no wonder the poor woman yeah. had this breakdown. And I think she's still under a conservatorship too.
Yeah. And she's, yeah. Like, I mean, clearly, I mean, good for her. I'm glad that she's still okay. But like, is she okay? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I saw a post the other day that said that she was celebrating like 4 years sober. And I thought that's amazing. Good for her.
Yeah.
And like now, I mean, she's not even in the entertainment industry whatsoever. And it's right. just sad though, because she had a lot of potential. Like she was very talented. And it just sucks that somebody can take that away from you by...
Yeah.
taking advantage of you and that, you know, like it's yeah. just gross. But that I knew it was on Max. You can watch it on Max, but I actually was able to watch it on Prime. So
nice. Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I watched it. There's only 4 episodes, called Quiet on the Set. And anyone who has watched any of that generation of, you know, Nickelodeon. Yeah. And another funny thing about that, when funny, ironic, haha, not yeah. funny, is that Dan Schneider, they talked about how he put a lot of gross, like, feet fetish things in there with the kids and stuff, because there was a lot of episodes about different feet things. And then if you look, the Nickelodeon like symbol is a freaking foot.
Uh-huh.
And he's the one who was like the king of Nickelodeon shows. And I thought, like, if that's not just a clear sign right there, like, gross.
Yeah.
And he's a disgusting big fat man. Like, you're he's gross. Just,
it's so
sorry
gross.
That you
it's...
think that you have to prey on children, but
yeah, it's so disgusting.
So yeah, watch that. It's not like an easy watch, but it's very eye-opening. So that was my case-ish story.
Yeah.
And that's all I got. So,
okay. This week we're in 2 different places. We're going to call it Oklahoma, because that's the chunk of the case, but I feel like I've been saying this the last few times, but I'm doing something kind of out of the norm for us.
It's okay. We could do whatever we want to make it.
But I'm going to be talking about some ongoing cases. And so there's still a lot of unknown factors, a lot of things that aren't resolved. I'm going to give trigger warnings right now for assault of children. Honestly, just a general queer phobia. There seems to be both trans and homophobia, things like that, and talk of suicide. I also know there are people who think that we should just talk about the case and not get quote unquote political, but human rights aren't political matter. Human rights are human rights, and no matter your gender, skin, sexual orientation, religion, like, these are basic things that we should have rights to. So if you know, I don't think the government should be able to dictate a lot of these things that they have been, and if you disagree, this might not be the episode for you. So that being said, I've been wanting to talk about the case of Next Benedict from Oklahoma for a while now. This happened over a month ago. It happened at the beginning of February. But I was also kind of waiting for more details to come out. And then, Shannon, you actually sent me another article about a teen named Kylie Gaines. And both of these cases involve bullying in the school, which led to fighting, and children in the hospital. Unfortunately, one of these children died and the other was in critical condition in the ICU until just a few days ago, actually. I'm going to talk about both cases, but before I kind of get into that, this kind of just led me into really wanting to talk about bullying with young children and teens and what they're going through these days. And like, I just feel like schools need to be doing more. And I understand that a good chunk of this is because they don't have the funding to have the resources or to train their faculty in ways to deal with it. I also think that some of it is how, like, I'll talk about in the case of Oklahoma, how there is a lot of anti-LGBTQ plus and trans rhetoric within the government, which then trickles down into these schools, that I think causes part of this as well. So before I get into the cases, I wanted to give some just brief facts, like statistics. All of these I found from articles from 2024. They'll all be linked in the show notes. I've got a lot of stuff that is going to be linked in the show notes this week. But the first one is going to be from the National Center for Education Statistics. So some of their key findings were, like, in school environments, about 857,500 violent incidents and 479,500 nonviolent incidents were recorded by public schools from 2021 to 2022. That's ridiculous. We're looking at almost million violent incidences recorded within a year time frame for bullying. That's not okay. So then 67% of public schools reported having at least one violent incident. 59 reported having at least one nonviolent incident. And these are just the ones that are being reported. You know what I mean? Like, how many aren't being?
I know. That's so terrifying.
Yeah. About 71% of public high school / secondary schools reported at least one incident. Oh, that's like talking about drugs. So, okay, I'm going to kind of ignore that. I've copied and pasted some of these facts in here. Yeah. I'm not talking about the drugs right now because, like, yes, drugs are their own separate thing. Mm-hmm. So the school crime and safety data for 2021 to 2022 shows a 1-point increase in public schools reporting at least one hate crime. So like 3% compared with 2% in 2019 to 2020.
Jeez.
Like, so,
like, shouldn't it be getting better? I feel like with as much as it's talked about, you would think and hope.
But I also feel like the climate that our country's been in for the last almost 8 years, I'm honestly surprised it hasn't increased more than that, truthfully. I just feel like we're regressing so much as a nation.
I feel like, too, with social media and the things that is what's made it even worse, too, because it's easy for people to hide behind.
Yep. So actually, for them, another thing was their thing on bullying and cyberbullying. A higher percentage of middle schools reported bullying on campus at least once per week, with 28% saying it took place at least once a week, compared with 15% for high school or, you know, secondary schools at 10%. And there's 10% for elementary schools. Similarly, cyberbullying at school or away from school at least once a week was reported by 37% of middle schools and 25% of, like, high school and secondary schools.
Yeah, I believe it.
Mm-hmm. So now the next set of stats that I got is from pacer.org. So one out of every 5 students reported being bullied. So it's like 20% of students across the country. A higher percentage of male than female students report being physically bullied, whereas a higher percentage of female than male students report being the subject of, like, rumors and things like that. Mm-hmm. 41% of students who reported being bullied at school indicated they think the bullying would happen again. Of those students who reported being bullied, 13% were made fun of, called names, or insulted. 13% were the subject of rumors. 5% were pushed, shoved, tripped, or spit on. And 5% were excluded from activities on purpose. Then you have a slightly higher percentage of females. Oh, I lost it. My thing freaked out on me for a second. So there is a higher percentage of females than males being reported being bullied. So 24% of females report being bullied in school versus 17% of males. And bullied students reported that the bullying occurred in places like the hallway or stairwell, inside the classroom, cafeteria, outside on school grounds, online, in the bathroom or locker room, and on the school bus.
So everywhere, pretty much.
I mean, like, yeah.
Gosh.
46% of bullied students reported notifying an adult at the school about the incident. But, like, it doesn't seem like much is being done, you know? Right. And the reasons for being bullied reported most often by students include physical appearance, race or ethnicity, gender, disability, religion, or sexual orientation. So then the third one that I'm going to quote here is from the CDC. And they talk about how, you know, 1 in 5 high school students reported being bullying. And more than 1 in 6 reported being bullied electronically. So like cyberbullying. Mm-hmm. And obviously LGBTQ plus teens report a higher percentage. Nearly 40% of high school students who identified as lesbian, gay, or bisexual, and about 33% of who are not sure experience bullying at school or electronically, compared to 22% of heterosexual high school students. So it's just, yeah. So then we also get into, you know, nearly 29% of white high school students experienced bullying last year. Although it says 29% of the white high school, but again, okay, we have to also think white people are, there's a higher percentage of white people than any other ethnicity mm-hmm. in the country. So then that's sure. compared to 19% of Hispanic and 18% of black high school students. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense that that's a higher number. Yeah. Because there's more, but at the same time, it's like, you got to look a little bit more at that, you know?
Yeah.
Reports of bullying are highest in middle schools.
Yeah. That does not surprise me one bit, and that is why I'm terrified to send my kid to middle school.
I know. So yeah, I also want to report, like, I wanted to point out too, so like, this is going to be linked. The CDC link has all the other resources for like helping to understand and addressing bullying as well. And obviously there's a ton of different like statistics we could go into with bullying in this, but that was just some of the stuff I wanted to kind of highlight for now. So now for the cases, the first I'm going to talk about is, like I said, Next Benedict. And Next was a 16-year-old non-binary student in Owosso, Oklahoma. They did use both he, him, and they, them pronouns, which then would, a lot of times non-binary still falls under the transgender umbrella as well, just because you're no longer identifying with the sex you were assigned at birth. At school, though, it sounds like they typically used more they, them pronouns, but he, him, they, them, Next was born female, but that shouldn't matter. Well, it does. It'll come into play. So just a little background on Next there for a moment. So on February 7th of 2024, Next was in the girls' bathroom because the Oklahoma governor signed an anti-trans bathroom bill into law in 2022 that forces transgendered students in public and charter schools to use the bathroom of the gender on their birth certificates. And so Next had been experiencing bullying for over a year already. But according to their grandmother, Sue, who was their legal guardian, which in some articles they call Sue her, like, they call Sue Next's mom, mm-hmm. but it seems like Sue was actually their grandma and had legal custody of okay. them. But Sue said she didn't realize how bad the bullying had gotten. And now for the information on what transpired in this fight, Next is actually interviewed by a police officer and gives their report while they're in the hospital. And this is all recorded on the body cam footage, which I'm going to link that in the show notes as well so you can watch it. But do note, like, it even says on there, like, the Owosso Police Department did edit this footage too. So Next said three girls who they didn't even really know came into the bathroom and started talking loudly about Next and their friends who were all, I think, within the queer realm. And, you know, so they were doing it where they were like, these three girls were coming in and talking to each other, but loud enough so that they wanted right. the other people to hear.
It's so petty and stupid.
Yeah. And, you know, they were laughing about their appearance and the way they laughed. And at this point, the officer is asking if Next did anything to provoke them, even in the last few months. And I'm like, I'm sorry.
So talking shit's just okay, too? Like,
yeah. No. Like, no. Oh, did you do something to deserve it? So, like, right off the bat, I'm going to tell you, I feel like the police and everyone involved in the system regarding this case is gross. So, you know, Next was like, I don't even know who they were.
So how right? would I like, have provoked them? Right.
Right. Like, I don't know these people. It looks like, I think one thing I read said that, like, Nex and their friends and these three girls were all in-school suspension.
Oh.
And so, like, it had started in the classroom, and then they went into the bathroom, and it continued. So Nex said that they then went up to them and poured water on them because they were tired of these girls talking shit.
Right.
Now,
it was water. Like, let's calm down. It was water. Too.
Okay,
like,
let's.
Okay, maybe.
They poured water. Right. Should Nex have done that? Probably not.
But they shouldn't have been talking shit either. Like, Nex was standing up for themselves, so.
And their friends.
Yeah.
So then Nex said the three girls rushed at them, grabbed them by the hair. So Nex grabbed one of the girls by the hair, too, and, like, shoved her away, and she kind of fell into the, like, paper towel dispenser. And at that point, the girls got Nex's legs out from underneath them and started beating the shit out of them. Jeez. And Nex talks about how, you know, their friends tried to jump in to help, but they're not really sure what happened after that because
I was gonna ask if there were other people in there. I couldn't remember the whole story. So it was these three girls
and Nex and their friends.
And the friends were there too. Okay.
The friends were there too, and they were trying to get it, okay, you know, help out. Nex hit their head pretty hard on the tiled floor too. So Nex blacks out. And so Nex and their grandmas want to file a report, right? And this cop, it's so gross. The cop tries to talk them out of it. The whole time, he's misgendering Nex, calling them her.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, you know, well, they had freedom of speech, so they can say whatever they want, which is true, unfortunately. But because Nex threw water on them, he tells Sue and Nex that technically Nex is the first one to start the assault, and they could then file a report against Nex, and that in the court of law, like, Nex technically started it. And then, like, goes on to talk about how, like, everyone in this is a victim, and, you know, everyone's a perpetrator, and so they could, you know, like I said, file against Nex too, and goes on to talk about how the courts are going to look at Nex as having started this all, which I'm like, okay, it's Oklahoma, so they probably would, but let's look at the point right. That it was water compared to then physical assault.
Yeah, that's kind of not the same.
That's escalating quite a bit.
So why didn't they just throw water back and been done with
right.
it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, it didn't need to go to that level, but.
And yeah, and so he then tries to say that, like, you know, Nex assaulted these girls and they were just defending themselves. And then, you know, he says, you know, then all of you could have broken away at any point. So, like, you're all kind of at fault. But it's like, Nex was on the floor with three girls on top of them. How could they have broken away at any point?
Right.
They couldn't have.
They were
the other three girls could have. Nex mm-hmm. could not. So that's really frustrating. So the school nurse then determined that an ambulance wasn't needed, but that Nex should be taken in to, like, the doctors of the hospital by the family. So Sue took Nex to the hospital. Nex was released that day and taken home. Unfortunately, the next day they collapsed at home and were rushed to the hospital, where they were sadly pronounced dead. Now, from the get-go, like I said, the school and the police failed Nex. No one was arrested in this, even though it's clearly a case of them bullying because of their gender or being transgendered and their sexual orientation. Like, that's a hate crime.
Yeah.
So, like, unfortunately, the words can be said. Unfortunately, hate speech is protected under the First Amendment. But the moment you put hands, you can't tell me that it wasn't because they were pissed off that a transgendered person had the audacity to stand up to them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not saying these kids need to be tried as adults, but I think they need to be held accountable.
Yeah.
And not be told that they were victims because they had water spilled on them.
Right. And also, I'm confused as to why Nex got released from the hospital. I mean, I guess maybe you'll go into that more later with, like.
And so this is where we come into some of the ongoing stuff. So at first, police try to say that Nex's death had nothing to do with that fight. It was an underlying health issue.
I did see that in the news.
Yeah.
And I was like, that seems to be quite timely mm-hmm. then.
Yeah. So then the medical examiner comes out and only part of the autopsy has been released, the medical examiner decided to rule Nex's death a suicide, saying that they said that they overdosed on Benadryl and Prozac and that the altercation and the assault was insignificant, had nothing to do with it.
But there was like a head injury.
Right. So the family is suing for the full autopsy reports because in it, they've seen in just a partial of it that there was a broken notes of a broken blood vessel in the eye, various bruises, cuts, and abrasions to Nex's head, face, torso, and limbs. So that would contradict that their death had nothing to do with the altercation.
And can't the family, like, why wouldn't the family just get access to the autopsy anyway?
Right.
Like, if it's their own family, their kin.
Right. You know? And I don't know if they're going to go forth and try to have another. I don't know. Because I know, you know, I had that one case where the father had a second autopsy done. But I did also see somewhere in the case of this all coming out that it was mentioned that the way Nex collapsed and was kind of seizing was common with a head trauma and like brain injury. Now, I can't verify this. Like I said, there's still a lot that hasn't come out about this yet. There's still a lot that we're looking for, but it seems pretty clear that everyone of an authority was like, this is a queer teen. Mm-hmm. Let's just brush this under the rug because, you know, it's a good old country, you know, kind of state.
Yeah.
So the Tulsa district attorney also said they agree, because the police have said that no charges were warranted, and the Tulsa district attorney said they agree with the police on that. And like I said, I don't understand how this doesn't qualify then as a hate crime.
I did see in the news how no charges were being filed, and I was so confused because I obviously haven't seen some of the in-between stuff there, but that is ridiculous.
Yeah, which I also find it funny because I assume that all of the perpetrators, which obviously we don't know any of the girls, anything about them because they're minors. I'm just gonna, and this is an assumption, I feel like it's a pretty fair assumption, that all these girls were white.
Yeah, and one of them probably had someone they knew or related to on the police force is my guess too.
It also doesn't help. So there's call, because obviously the queer community is up in arms about this, right? Like, this isn't okay. Unfortunately, we're seeing, like, there's too much, and I'll kind of talk about this again in a little bit, but, like, queer teens have an exponentially higher rate of suicide and being bullied anyways, as we've discussed, right? And, like, more needs to be done. But when you have, so they're calling for the removal of Ryan Walters, who's the state superintendent of public instruction, because he's been hostile towards the LGBTQIA plus community from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And personally, I feel like if you work with children, and you are loud and vocal about any of your phobias, whether it's based on gender, race, religion, any of those things, you should not be allowed to work with children who you are going to have children.
Going to have diverse.
In those. Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, you should not be allowed to work with children.
Yeah. That why just would you even want a job like that? Like, it sounds like
you so just, you can control it. And so you can try to make it as hard as possible for those people you don't like. So, like I said, the police say that they found writings of Nex that deal with suicide, but nothing talks about an actual suicide note or the fight. And so to me, this seems to me like if Nex was being bullied for the past year, according to the Trevor Project, and again, that's going to be linked, suicide is the second leading cause of death for 10 to 14 year olds and the third leading cause of death for 15 to 24 year olds. And then that's just in general. That's not including. But then when you go to the queer community, those teens are four times more likely to attempt suicide than any of their other peers. And the Trevor Project estimates that more than 1.8 million LGBTQIA young people, which is 13 to 24, seriously consider suicide each year, with at least one attempt every 45 seconds.
That is terrifying.
Yes. So let's say Nex did, in fact, complete suicide. Let's say that that was truly what happened, which I still don't, I don't think it is.
I don't think.
But
yeah.
Even if it was, Nex has clearly been failed by the school and the authorities. And even if their death was the result of suicide, those girls still need to be charged for a hate crime. And like I said, I'm not saying they need to be tried as adults. And we'll get into this in the next case too. I think it's, there's a very rare instance for a young minor to be tried as an adult. Really, the only time is if they are planned out a murder, like the kid from Florida who Snapchatted about murdering the young girl. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That was so gross. Yes.
Yes. Murder is pretty much the only time I'm like, yes. Unless also, and I hate to say this, but like 8 to 10 years old, I don't think they should be like trying, you know, like we've had those cases of children murderers and it's like their brain and like, I think they need to be on a watch list for the rest of their life.
Yeah.
But I, so like I said, I'm not saying that these girls need to, but I feel like this is just going to show them that they can get away with that.
Right.
And if anything, even,
go ahead.
No, you go.
I was just going to say that like, if Nex did, you know, complete suicide, it was obviously provoked by them in the whole thing anyway. So it's like, they're still not out of this. Like they still provoked it. So when they say, how did Nex provoke it? Like what?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it was gross. Because I'll have the YouTube video linked of that full video, the video, but it's so frustrating and angering. One, just the fact that he continues to misgender them, but then going so hard about being, but they both were like, no, we still want to file a report. So, obviously, you know, I just want to, so to end talking about Nex, I want to talk about some positive things that were said about them, because a vigil was held for them and people got up and shared their stories. So a friend, Allie, who uses they, them, and only wanted to be called by their first name to protect their identity, talked about how Nex was one of those friends who, even though they'd only met at the start of the school year, they felt like they'd known them forever, that Nex wasn't afraid to be themselves and was like a really talented artist. Allie said that they could like spend 30 minutes on something and it'd be a masterpiece, you know? They were just very talented. There was also a teacher from Owosso 8th grade center, Tyler Rin. And Tyler said Nex wasn't actually one of their students. He wasn't in their class. Mm-hmm. But Nex and a group of other queer students often hung out in Rin's classroom because they knew it was a safe space. And it sounds like Nex and this teacher mm-hmm. had like a good relationship. They joked a lot. Like Nex, I guess, would like make comments about like, oh, I'm gonna fight you, and then if I win, I get to be in your class, transfer to your class, or I get your Mustang or something, you know, like
yeah,
a joke,
just
stuff.
Fun. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the teacher said that, you know, Nex was a fiery person who always lit up a room and would always stick up for their friends if they were being bullied.
Sounds like that's kind of what happened in that moment too. So,
And like, there were many other great things. Nex's partner shared how Nex helped him to come out to his parents as gay, mm-hmm. and how Nex always kept spirits high and they always lit up a room whether they were smiling or not. So, you know, despite everything, it sounds like Nex was one of those people who was there for their friends.
Yeah.
They wanted to help. And, you know, it's so difficult to be a teenager in general, but to be a teenager who's other in any way mm-hmm. and to stick up for and to push forward for that, to be accepted, especially somewhere as conservative as Oklahoma and stuff, like that takes such bravery. And so no wonder they had depression, you know, like being a teenager, what teenager
that alone.
Yeah.
That's
so
awful.
If more information comes up, you know, if anything else is updated about that case, I will share it.
Yeah, that's, I know I've kind of been wondering what's going to happen with that and where that's going to go. So we'll see. I know it's all pretty fresh still, but
yeah,
it's just awful.
Yeah, it is. That one's really angering. And
yes.
I mean, they always are, you know.
I know.
So now this next case is interesting too, because, and I'll kind of get into it, but it seems like our victim here may have actually been the bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was an interesting one for sure.
Yeah, and again, still ongoing. So this is 16-year-old Kaylee Gain from St. Louis, Missouri. There's even less information about this case. But like I said, from the few things I've read, it kind of sounds like Kaylee may have been bullying the student who ended up beating her. Now, I'm not saying that that makes the situation okay.
Right.
By any means. So, like, because one of the other things I read, one of the stats I read actually talked about, and I don't think I put it in here, was that students who do both bullying and are bullied, like, both of them are at a higher risk of mental illness than people who just do bullying or just are bullied.
I mean, it makes sense when you think about any school shooter, that's it's generally because they've been bullied, but mm-hmm. they've also, I mean, are then in return bullying, you know?
Yes. But. Yeah. So on March 8th, near the high school, Kaylee and another student got into a fight, and it was recorded and shared thousands of times. And you can still see it. I won't be linking it. I did watch it briefly, but the moment the student started to slam her head into the cement, I got sick to my stomach and I turned it off. Like, I watched it to solely see if it showed how it started.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there was shit talking prior, and they both kind of came at each other at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it feels like this was a culmination of bullying on some part. So that being said, I'm not gonna link that, like I said, but the fight started, it's hard to see who started. Then the other girl was 15, and I do think this is worth noting because, again, we're still in Missouri, which is still, we've got some of that stuff. The student was Black, and now I'll kind of go into that a little bit more. I'm not saying I don't think she didn't deserve to be arrested, but it sounds like they're trying to charge her as an adult. And I'm going to get into that a little bit more. Yikes. But so she did like slam Kaylee's head into the street multiple times, like very hard. Like you can, it was,
that sickens me.
Yeah. So Kaylee had a fractured skull that led to brain bleeding. So she was in the ICU. It sounds like she was even on a ventilator and stuff. But as of March 22nd, she was taken out of the ICU. She's breathing on her own. A GoFundMe was started for the family, and they raised like over
$380,000. Wow.
Yeah. But this is where we kind of get into why I also think that the other student who was part of this, I feel like their race is, I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah.
I know there are going to be people who disagree with me, but I think if she was a white girl, she would have, if she was arrested, she wouldn't have been, they wouldn't be trying to try her as an adult.
Yeah, I mean,
that being said, so there is a change.org petition that's trying to make it so that the 15-year-old who is arrested is tried as a juvenile instead of an adult, which I think is fair. It's, as I said, with even the other girls, with Nex, like, yes, charge them, but not as an adult, not when they're 15, especially because
that's pretty young. Yeah, it's not like they're right at the cusp of being an
so adult. There is outrage over this, right? They want her tried as an adult. And her lawyer stated that, you know, she's an honor roll student. She's in the orchestra and plays the volleyball team. And he was really gracious. And this is what makes me really also think that our victim here, Kaylee, was actually the bully in this situation. Because he says, because when he's interviewed, when he's interviewed, Kaylee was still in ICU. I think this was shortly after everything. So I feel like he was really gracious, because then he went on to state that there are facts of the case that don't need to be discussed while one of the teens is in critical condition. So I do think that in this instance, I think we need to also look at, like, if Kaylee is, in fact, the one who was bullying this girl, I'm not saying what she did to Kaylee was okay.
Right.
I think she does need to be held accountable. Agreed. But I also think we need to be looking at, I think both her and Kaylee need mental help.
Yes.
Like mental health of help.
Yes.
Because it seems to me like this feels like a culmination of someone who has pushed too far just snapping.
Yeah.
And we've had, like, I mean, there are cases of this. There is a known thing of, like, if you get put into that situation, if you're in then this fight or flight mode, like, you are just trying to protect yourself. Yeah. And I'm not saying, like I said, the repeated slamming of the head, but if you're in that position of, you've now kind of locked into, like, your lizard brain, if you will,
mm-hmm.
you might not be fully aware of what you are doing in that moment. You just know you're trying to protect yourself, mm-hmm. and you're, you know, whether that's from verbal, physical abuse or not.
You're right.
And yep. I, like I said, I do think that if this young girl was white, there wouldn't be such an uproar about her being tried as a juvenile. And I question whether or not she would even be charged as an adult, because listen, there are other statistics out there we can see how disproportionate it is in the justice system if you are not white. So don't even try to come at me with being like, it's not that. No, it is. Yeah. So you can think what you want, hate on me, I don't care. So with that though, another reason, like I said, Kylie's parents actually put out a statement. Okay, I keep calling her Kaylee, and now I gotta double check because I swear some things I saw.
I know, I don't remember.
Called her
either.
Kaylee, and some called her like spelled it Kylee. So I apologize if I've been saying her name wrong the whole time. Okay, so Kaylee.
It's Kaylee.
Yeah. I keep going back and forth, but I know I read something that called her Kylie, and I think that's where I got it in my head then. But okay, so Kaylee's parents put out a statement about bullying, and it said Kaylee's parents, so this is a direct quote, Kaylee's parents want to make a special request to their fellow parents in the community to ask them to reinforce to their children that physical violence and bullying are never appropriate, and to emphasize to their children that lives of both the perpetrators of teen violence and the victims of violence can be permanently and forever changed as a result of violent incidences that only last a few minutes. So the fact that they're going, like, they bring up bullying, but then they go more towards the physical violence. Like I said, it just reads to me as in, like, we know our daughter was bullying.
Was being a little bitch. Yeah, probably. But I'm not saying that she was.
Yes. But like, it's one of those situations. Like, listen, teen girls are bitchy.
Yeah. And words can hurt just as much. Like, yeah, physical stuff. It's just because you can see it happen. I mean, you can see the results of that.
But obviously, we know on mental health, again, the suicide rates, as I've already established, like, that's not necessarily a culmination of people being beaten. That's of them being beaten down emotionally and, you know, mentally.
Yeah.
The school also put out a statement saying it is a tragedy anytime children are hurt. Bullying and fighting in the community is an issue for which we all need to take ownership and work towards a resolution for the sake of our children. And like, for real, like, that just makes me wonder, like, on either side, the extent of bullying and if anything was actually done to prevent the situation.
Yeah.
You know, because this seems like a thing, like, there were people around. So it feels like one of those things where, whether it was Kaylee or the other girl doing the bullying, someone was finally like, you know what? Fine. Let's do something about it. You know what I mean? And then they, because it feels like a situation, it was off school grounds, but it was close to school. Kids were already there with video cameras out.
And that's the worst part, is that kids are just standing there recording it while it's happening too. I mean, I know that's just the world we live in, but it's awful.
One article I read said that there were other fights going on around that too. So like, it just makes me wonder, like, it feels like this was something of like, we're going to, like, you know, you see in like movies and shit, we're like, fine, we're going to meet outside at this time and we'll settle this, you know? And like, maybe it started as trash talking and then they finally did start fighting each other and the,
there's no one there to intervene. I mean, as and kids, that's dangerous too, to try to get in there, but
is like where I said, where I just come back to the fact that I feel like kids are being failed, you know, in these situations. Like, as a parent, there's only so much you can do to, if your child is the, first of all, let's be real with ourselves. If someone comes to you and tells you your child is being a bully, don't just automatically assume that they, that couldn't be your child. Look into it.
Right.
You know, and take measures, be open and honest so you don't raise a little shit. Right. Right. But then if your child is being bullied, as a parent, there's only so much you can do. And again, as a parent, let's say you're like, yeah, my child is a bully, and you do what you can. Once they get to school, though, there's only so much as the parent that you can do
it's
in
out
that
of your
time.
Hands. Yeah, and you can't.
And that's
them
where the school needs better resources for these things. So speaking of resources, I am going to link these also as resources in the show notes as well. But first off, again, if you're struggling with suicidal ideation, you can call or text 988. And you can actually reach out to them too if you are struggling with bullying. I looked that up as well. But another resource if you're being bullied is you can also text the crisis text line at 741-741 and just text the word home. And there's counselors and stuff there for you then as well. So that's kind of my cases for this week. Like I said, it's a little different than normal. My main focus is, like, I just wanted to highlight what an issue bullying is these days. And it is worse than it was because of social media. Because as a child, you can't get away from it now. You have internet and you have text messages and all these things. And You know, the thing is, though, too, is we have all these outside things going on. And, like, mental health has always been a thing, even way back in the day. I know, like, a lot of people try to be like, oh, there's this increase in depression and all these, you know.
Yeah, well, it's like things, because it's like, of no, social it's like media was added to it. And that's just
the and thing. And we're trying to finally address it. Like, oh, back in my day, we didn't have this. No, you did. Yeah. It just wasn't identified.
It was not talked about. Yeah, and people didn't want to talk about it.
And so I do feel like a lot of times the students who are the bully, one, they either have other things going on in their life that this is a control thing for them, or two, they're being raised by shitty people who think a certain way. Because I do wonder, because Kaylee is white, this other girl was black. There was a part of me who was like, was she making racial remarks? Was this a thing? Was race a factor in the bullying?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it, oh, you're a nerd, that type of situation? And I do think part of bullies is the environment they're raised in. But a lot of times, too, if you look at it in that environment, it's either, you know, we have family with problematic thoughts and behaviors who make it okay for the student, or that child's being bullied by their own parents, because parents can be bullies, too.
Yeah, like you're a product of what you're raised by, and when you're modeling what you see at home. So generally, if you're bullying, it's because your family is probably bullying you, or that's just what you see. Yep. Yeah.
Or like I said, sometimes maybe it is just something with this kid that, I don't know, sometimes kids, it doesn't matter how great of a parent you are, they're just kind of little shits as teenagers.
And sometimes they just get around the wrong people, and that's influences them. And
exactly. And if you're in denial about your child and their actions, then you are at fault for that then too, for not trying to put that forth, because it is hard to be a teenager. And if you're trying to fit in and stuff like it, teenagers are easily influenced. They want, want to be out. They don't want to be other. They don't want to be, you know, so I think there's so much that needs to be addressed. And like, to an extent we're getting there, but then it's, I was like, I feel like we take 2 steps back and then it's like, or 2 steps forward and then it's like 10 steps back. You know, I feel like the country is really regressing in so much of our stuff. And with the case of Next, like if you have a country who's so many, if your governor is like, fuck the queer community, well, why wouldn't the teenagers then be like, well, I'm going to go ahead and pick on you. It's okay for me to do this because clearly even our own state doesn't want to protect you, you know? And so you just have all these things, and it's just, it's heartbreaking and it's disgusting. The fact that we had these two cases, they're a month apart. Nexus fight was on February 7th and Kaylee's was on March 8th.
Yeah. We had so two
teens who were in such, both of them 16, who were in such horrible fights that they ended up in the hospital. One of them died. One of them, I don't think she's awake on her own. I don't think Kaylee, I think she's still in a coma. I don't know if it's medically induced or not. She's finally breathing on her own and stuff. But, you know, they, because with brain injuries like that, they'll often keep you in a coma to help with that stuff. So they've even said that they don't know the extent of her injuries, and they can't know until she wakes up, because who knows if there's now, you know, if she's going to have disabilities of any sort, you know, memory loss or forgetting how to walk and things like that. Like,
and that kind of,
there's so much that could come from that
too. I mean, that could change a lot depending on what comes from that.
Yeah.
It's all just sad. It's just a sad world. It's scary to send your kids anywhere, go anywhere in general. And
it is
the worst. Yeah.
And the fact, and the thing is like, and these were just, I thought about looking up other like school fight cases that led to, you know, hospitalization or something, but it's like, I'm not going to, because that'd be a slippery slope. But then we also have the fact, again, like I said, I was like, the fact that these two happened, Missouri and Oklahoma, they were in the heartland.
Ironic.
And
yeah.
1 month apart.
Is, yeah.
Like that should show us what an issue this is.
And those are just the ones, that we hear about. And the fact that that one isn't even, I mean, a huge news story, like just saw that little link of Kaylee's, you know, and it's like,
people did cover, cause one of the things I found, people has picked up the story and stuff, you know? But yeah, that's just it. And like for my pictures this week, I'm going to have like 2 pictures, one of Nex and, you know, one of Kaylee.
Cause there's not a whole lot. Is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause you can't, I mean, there's, you can't see the other kids, the minors and stuff anyway.
And I don't think the minors should be addressed, because especially like, you know that the community already knows who these students are.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And they're already, I'm sure, especially in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the other ones are probably fine. They might be getting some, I doubt. But the ones in St. Louis, you know her and her family, I'm sure, are getting all sorts of shit. So this doesn't need to be a national thing where you're getting people from all over the country.
Right.
You know, piling on in that situation. Yeah. And like I said, with that one, like that's, I don't, it, even if Kaylee was a bully, she did not deserve what happened to her by any means. And this is
that's like, never the answer. I mean, that, and that shows just right there, there needs to be better resources for people to.
Yes. For your mental health. Because like I said, I feel like this other girl, it just looks like she snapped. And we just need better resources.
I know.
On so many counts, for both mental health, for teens, for adults, but also for bullying. Like, this needs to be addressed more. I feel like we need to have, we don't, high schools, schools don't have the resources. And that's a big issue too.
I know. And it's sad. It's like, yeah. And it's scary as a parent, and we all want that. And, but people have to be willing to like do something to help change it too.
Yep.
So yeah. Well,
yeah. So those are my cases for this week. A lot of unknowns still. We'll keep updated. Kaylee, you know, hopefully it's obviously a good sign that Kaylee is breathing on her own now. Yeah. Hopefully there's no brain damage or anything like that once she is awake.
Gosh, that's scary. Yeah, we'll have to keep an eye on that one for sure. But yeah, thanks for sharing those.
Yeah.
Those are definitely eye-opening. Let's see here. I found my random fact to share. And I feel like I kind of maybe knew this one already, but I also had forgotten, so you maybe know. Okay. So the 100 folds in a chef's hat represent 100 ways to cook an egg.
I've come across that several times. Have you? While looking for it.
Oh, yeah. That's hilarious. This is the first time I've come across it in looking. Usually I try to find like a crime type fact type thing. And this time I just looked that up and I was like, that's interesting. I never knew that. I mean, I guess I didn't know that there was 100 folds in the hat.
It,
so that
always
alone
makes me
want
to look up the 100 different ways to like cook an egg.
That was my first thought was, wait, what? There's 100 ways? Like, I know maybe I could probably come up with like 10 at the most, maybe.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I got there. But that's it. Just on a more fun note, less heavy note, we'll end on that, I guess. But guys,
that's, you guys know the drill. Rate, review, follow, share,
all the things,
comment, all the things, you guys. I don't know, it was a heavy episode, but
I know. Yeah, it was, but that's okay. I mean, sometimes those things need to be talked about too, so it's all good. So
until next time, stay heartland kind
but darkland wary.